morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, as we continue our series through this letter to the Ephesians. Just as a reminder, last week we focused on the building project, how Christ is building us into this temple for the Lord to dwell in, how the church is being brought together, and how these Gentiles that Paul is ministering to are also being brought in and are part of the church. This morning we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. But before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. As we turn our attention to God's word, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking to us. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for all ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, Paul starts out in our passage in verse 1 really strong. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. And then he stops. In my Bible, there's a little dash. He breaks off mid-sentence, and he starts going down a tangent, down a rabbit trail. And he doesn't get back on track until verse 14, where he picks it up again, for this reason. So verses 2 through 13, our passage this morning, is a rabbit trail on this mystery of Christ. Now, as I look in my theology books, they sometimes have an excursus at the end of the book, or an excursus down in the bottom, or slipped into a chapter. And when something is called an excursus, that's just a nice way of saying, I have something that I want to tell you that's completely off topic, but I think it's really important. An excursus sounds better than calling it a digression or a rabbit trail. But that's what Paul's doing. Now, I like rabbit trails. You can just ask my catechism class. We're always going on excursuses. Something in our material will will bring up a thought or a question, spurs on the conversation, and before you know it, we're completely off topic. Thankfully, there's someone in the class who will always rein us back in. But Paul here is getting off topic. He starts out so strong, he's going to making a point about what he just said in chapter 2. We've looked at how we are all being brought in, how the Gentiles are being brought in, how we are built into the temple of Christ. And then Paul is kind of bringing this to this conclusion. For this reason, I, Paul, an apostle for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. What? Well, if you want to see what he was going to say, you look at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. So he's going to say, I'm praying for you. You guys are being brought together, and I am lifting you up in prayer. But before we get to that prayer, we have this rabbit trail that Paul is bringing us down. He's explaining the mystery of Christ. And so this morning, we get to go down the rabbit trail with Paul as he explains the mystery of Christ, this hidden mystery that by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, you belong. That's the mystery revealed, and that's the mystery proclaimed. And those are our two points this morning. First of all, the mystery revealed. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear mystery? What's the first thing that you think of? I Googled it this past week, and the definition that came back is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain, the mysteries of outer space. Or a novel, or a play, or a movie dealing with a puzzling crime, especially our murder, the 1920s murder mystery, the ghost train. Paul is not using the word mystery in that way. The way that Paul's using it is basically something that we didn't know before, something that we were unaware of, something that was secret to us, which has now been explained, which has now been made known. This is something, what Paul is explaining here, this mystery of Christ, is something that previous generations didn't know about. It wasn't made known to men in other generations, verse 5 tells us. And then verse 9, in ages past it was kept hidden in God. So we have this mystery that has now been made known to Paul that he's now writing about in this letter. In verses 2 through 6, Paul explains how this revelation of the mystery came to him. Look at verse 2. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. The stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Paul has been put in charge of delivering God's grace, or he is a manager of God's grace, a servant of God's grace. This mystery of Christ was made known to Paul, and now it's his job to make it known to the Gentiles, and this mystery was made known to him by revelation. It had been revealed to him. Verse 3, God made it known to him how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. Now when we're talking about Revelation, not the last book in the Bible. Well, I guess it does count as the last book of the Bible. When we're talking about Revelation, it's what God makes known to us. And we can talk about general revelation, which we see in all creation, what we can learn about God from creation, but also special revelation, which is God's Word. And here when Paul is saying, this has been revealed to me, it was made known to me by revelation, it's God making it known to him, what I had written down briefly in God's Word. So here we're talking about special revelation, the way that God makes himself known to us, the way he reveals or makes his plan known to us. Now the entire Bible is the revelation of God. That's why when I said the book of Revelations, that's also part of God's revelation. It's the entire Bible. It's the way that God makes himself known to us. It's what God has told us. And when you think about this one story of God's revelation to us, beginning with Genesis and going all the way through to Revelation, it came together over hundreds of years. about 1,500 years. Different authors, all one story because it's all coming from God. Now think about that for just a minute. Imagine a writing project that started in the year 500 AD and that we're just finishing up right now in 2022. 500 AD is when the legendary King Arthur was doing his thing. That's 1,017 years before the Reformation. And the final chapter of that work is finally finished this year. That gives us a glimpse of the time span that it took for all of the authors and for God to bring together this one united story, which is the Word of God, His revelation to us. It's an ongoing revelation. It was an ongoing revelation because it's tied to the work that he's accomplishing throughout history. A work that previous generations, Paul is saying, they didn't know. 5 and 6, it wasn't made known to the sons of men in other generations. The Old Testament guys, those in the past, yeah, they knew that there was this promise, but they didn't know specifically how it was going to be worked out. It was kept hidden from them. It was a mystery to them. Now, because of this revelation, because God has made it known to Paul, Paul now has insight into this mystery of Christ, one that people didn't know about in the past, verse 4, but it has now been revealed to the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit and made known to the people. When you read this, this is the end of verse 4, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men of other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So here we have this mystery that Paul knows about, and it's his job to make it known to all the people. And the question is, well, what is this mystery? What is this mystery? Well, before we answer that question, a short rabbit trail. In pagan religions, especially in Ephesus at that time, like the worship of Artemis, Ephesus, they had a ceremonial rite that was referred to as the mystic rites of the goddess. Professor Baugh explains that in recent archaeological work in the terrace houses of Ephesus, so in the city of Ephesus, they have found a chamber that you can access or get to only by crawling through a very narrow passageway into a room with a small upper window. And this chamber was used for the mystery rites of Dionysius. In these cults, mystery meant some kind of secret experience for a select secret group. For Paul, mystery is a term referring to salvation, referring to how God is accomplishing and working out this salvation in Christ. For Paul, mystery is a redemptive historical term. It's not a secret experience or a secret knowledge given to just a select few of people. The mystery of Christ has been hidden in previous generations, but since Christ's life, death, resurrection, ascension, it's now being made known. We now know how God is accomplishing those Old Testament promises. And in that way, there was enough knowledge to the saints in the Old Testament to secure their heritage, even if they didn't know the specific plans of how God was going to work out this deliverance. So that's the mystery that Paul's referring to. Now God has fully disclosed this mystery, and Paul and others are entrusted with proclaiming this mystery, proclaiming the gospel. And here's what this mystery is. Verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, so fellow heirs with the Israelites, the Jews, people of God, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's this mystery that is now being made known, that people are being brought in. And that fact, that the Gentiles specifically are being brought in, that's not necessarily a new thing The revelation of the mystery of Christ, that the Gentiles would be brought in, is part of God's plan of salvation. And that's not something that just came out of the blue or like a plan B. Galatians 3:8, the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So here you have Old Testament saints knowing, okay, all nations are going to be blessed through Abraham in one way or the other. Here you have the gospel being preached in the Old Testament. Romans 1 verse 2, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. So this has always been God's plan, even though the specific details of the plan were not known. Now, I take the time to really emphasize this because some look at the Gentiles being brought into the church as kind of a plan B. God tried, did the best he could with his people, Israel. They failed, so he gave up on them, and then he opened it up to everybody else and tried to bring them all in. Kind of like a plan B. And that's simply not true. This is one story, one plan from the very beginning fulfilled in Christ. Verse 9, hidden in God who created all things. You go all the way back to 1 verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. This isn't a plan B, scrap the first one, let's try something else. This is the plan and has always been the plan. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets are looking forward to God's deliverance, both for Israel and for the Gentiles. The big overarching question was, how? That's the mystery. How is he going to deliver us? Jews and Gentiles. The way God accomplishes this salvation is by bringing both Jews and Gentiles into the body of Christ. And that's what people didn't know before. Before Christ, they didn't know this. It was made known. It wasn't made known to them. It wasn't revealed to them. It was kept secret from them. Until Jesus came to unite all his people from the ends of the earth into one new human race, this union was hinted at, but effectively hidden from the sons of men, as we see in our passage this morning. God is bringing all nations into the body of Christ. And this is the mystery that Paul is making known. Now, what does all of this mean for us? What does this mean for us? Well, the good news this morning is that we are brought in. Us Gentiles gathered here this morning are part of the body of Christ. The good news is that being Jew or Gentile stops mattering once you are a Christian. You're given a new identity. Paul isn't emphasizing or celebrating their Gentileness or their Jewishness. He's emphasizing how they are now one in Christ. Their new identity, their Christian identity. Clement of Alexandria, one of the ancient church fathers, described this new reality as a new race or a third race. It's not Jew or Gentile, it's a third race of people called Christians. Here's what he says. We who worship God in a new way as a third race are Christians. And this is a Greek guy who was born in 150 AD. What we are explaining here, the mystery that is now revealed, is that through the gospel, which is the good news of what Christ has done for our salvation, through the gospel, Gentiles and Israel are heirs, both members of the one body, and share together in the promises of Christ. What is being explained? You have one body, the body of Christ. All heirs, all children, one family, a bunch of people who all share in the promises of salvation. And what do you call this? What do you call the one body of Christ? People being brought in are all heirs with Christ, a bunch of people who share in the promises of salvation. You call this the church. The mystery of Christ is that God, by his power and his grace, is building the church. That's the mystery that was revealed. And secondly, this morning, that is the mystery that is proclaimed. That's our second point this morning, the mystery proclaimed. Now, as we look at verses 7 through 12, well, 7 through 13, what we see is that by God's grace, Paul is a minister of the gospel. You see that right there in verse 7. And what he's doing is he's preaching to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And just to highlight or emphasize that a little more, he's bringing light to everyone who's had this mystery hidden from them in the past. And the hidden mystery is that by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, you belong. And so let's break that down just a minute. There's layers here in what is being discussed. Paul is given grace that we see. And if we think back, he was given grace. He's a steward of God's grace in verse 2. And now in verse 7 and 8, he's mentioning this grace again. A gift of God's grace. He's the least of all the saints, and this grace was given to him so that he can preach. Now, the reason Paul talks like that is that he was very aware of the fact that he had been a persecutor of Christ and the church. He's very aware of that fact. The only reason that Paul is now proclaiming the gospel that is building the church that he once tried to snuff out is because of God's grace. And so he's serving out of thankfulness for that grace that he himself received, that he himself is very aware of. That's why he says, I'm the least of all the saints. He loves much because he has been forgiven much, so that the mercy of God could be demonstrated through him to all the world. When you think about this grace, it's God's goodness towards those who deserve the opposite, who deserve punishment. And we see that being expressed in Paul. He's given the grace to preach about God's grace in Jesus Christ, which is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 8, Paul's job was to preach, to proclaim the good news of the fathomless riches of Christ, to make this mystery known. Announcing, proclaiming the gospel. That's what makes this mystery known. That's what makes what was previously unknown known to those around. It's what makes the Gentiles heirs and members part of the promise. It's what builds the church. Preaching the gospel builds the church. Paul is saying that there's this mystery that's been revealed. It's been made known. It's incomprehensible. It's unsearchable, unfathomable. The riches of Christ that are ours through faith. We can't even wrap our minds around it. And that is the gospel that is made known to us. Even though we're not going to fully understand it or fully know it, we have a lifetime of hearing and discovering the unsearchable riches of Christ. By preaching the gospel, Paul is letting people know what was hidden before Christ came. You see that in verse 9. To bring light for everyone, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things? So the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, or to say it another way, it enlightens everyone to the plan of the mystery that was hidden for God who created all things. He's turning the light on for everyone to this mystery that was previously hidden in God. And all of this, verse 10, is so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Look at verse 10, if you have your Bibles open. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, when it comes to verse 10, the word order in Greek is a little bit unusual. Paul begins that sentence, that phrase, with "in order to be made known." And then he takes the subject and he throws, which is the wisdom of God, wisdom, and he throws it at the very end of the sentence, which is for emphasis. So that's what's being emphasized, wisdom. Now, what Paul did there, it's not possible for us to put this into English, the structure that he has in his sentence here. But if we try to, it would sound kind of like this. so that the following might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the highest heavenlies by the church, the wisdom of God. But the emphasis is the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God. And what's so amazing is that this enlightening, this making known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places of the wisdom of God is done through the church. It's the church that is making the manifold wisdom of God known, the multifaceted wisdom of God. So here we've come full circle, or God has come full circle. He has had a plan, and he's making it known, giving the grace necessary to proclaim, and it's almost as if he chose the weak things of this world and things that are insignificant to make his glory shine all the more, as we, as the church, the recipients of this plan, are now the ones making it known. This is the good news. This is the gospel message that Paul is proclaiming. And this is why Paul is proclaiming the good news of all that Christ has done. To make the manifold wisdom of God known, which he carried out in Christ our Lord. Verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose they had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom? So in Christ we have boldness. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have access. And in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have confidence through our faith in him. The gospel says that it is by grace, verses 7 and 8, through faith, verse 12, in Christ Jesus, verse 11, that you belong, verse 6. Now let's take Paul's logical progression here and work backwards, backed up to verse 7. It is the job of the church, which we see in verse 10, to make known the manifold wisdom of God by enlightening everyone to this gospel ministry, preaching the gospel. That by Jesus Christ, by God's grace, through faith, we Gentiles are brought in. What does that mean? That means we are fellow heirs with Christ. We are members of the same body as Christ. We are partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. It means that we have boldness, that we have confidence, and that we have access through our faith in Christ. The hidden mystery is now preached to everyone. That by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, you belong. Now think about how these words comforted these Ephesians through the persecution that they faced. The presence of the church, the body of Christ, means that the authority of the rulers has been broken. They cannot hinder the spreading of the gospel. And that all these things are going to be subject to Christ. Paul is writing this letter as he's a prisoner in Rome. Because he was preaching the gospel, but he doesn't see himself as a prisoner of Rome. He sees himself as a prisoner of Christ. And he's telling them all of this, this entire tangent, verse 13. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So Paul is telling them all of this so that they don't lose heart, so that they're encouraged. Because what he's suffering, his imprisonment, is for the glory of these Ephesian believers. Now the question we might be wondering about is, how is Paul's suffering, how is his imprisonment for the glory of the Ephesians? Well, the reason is because Paul is showing how his imprisonment is not the failure of the gospel. It's not like Christ's power has just gone away because now Paul's in prison and everything is for naught. It's just the opposite. It's their glory. It's for their good that Paul suffers tribulation in order to show the power of God in his weakness. In order to show that it's not me accomplishing this by my own strength. It is God accomplishing his plan for his glory. Paul didn't suffer because he was a criminal. But for your sakes, he says, to the Ephesians. Christ specifically has honored the Gentiles by appointing an apostle for them who would willingly lay down his life for their sake, on behalf of you, Gentiles, just like Christ did on the cross. So Paul's concern here is to assure these Gentiles that their redemption is secure even though he's in prison. God hasn't abandoned Paul or them. And Paul supports that truth by pointing to God's work that had remained hidden from previous generations and is only now being revealed and proclaimed. Now, as Paul assures these Ephesian believers from prison of Christ's supreme rule, he reminds us here today as well that in a similar way, we live our lives and serve the Lord in light of the cross, in light of what he has accomplished for us in Christ. The mystery of the gospel has been clearly revealed to us in detail and proclaimed. And what we see is that God has used weakness to conquer his enemies. And what we know is that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change, and he uses us in our weakness to glorify his name. Even though we are the very least of all the saints, you could say. When we realize that God is accomplishing, that what God is accomplishing, when we begin to wrap our minds around the work that God is accomplishing in Jesus Christ, the work that he's accomplishing in us, then that's encouraging for us as well. To not lose heart, even when the gospel is opposed, even when brothers and sisters in Christ are persecuted or suffer because of the gospel. The hidden gospel mystery that's been revealed and now proclaimed to everyone is that by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, you belong. We, because of that, have boldness. We have confidence and we have access through our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have accomplished in Jesus Christ for our salvation. This mystery that was hidden from previous generations and now is made known in light of all Christ has done for us and our salvation. Lord, we pray that each and every day we will live lives boldly and with confidence because we have access to you through our faith in Jesus Christ. And like Paul, Lord, let your grace in our lives be the motivation for us living them for your glory, sharing the mystery, the gospel that is ours in Jesus Christ with those around us. What has been revealed, we proclaim. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.